Brand new day. It is a brand new day. Let's give them some more love. Thank you, Marshall and Brian. Great. Thank you. So I'm happy and honored to introduce our guest speaker today, Reverend Dr. Barbara Leger. Barbara was born to pioneer stock in eastern Canada. She generally finds herself on the outer edges of some shift wanting to happen. A business consultant for 17 years prior to ministry and a project manager in both the U.S. and Soviet Union, she arrived in Ukraine on September 11th, 2001, and it was perfect. She says she discovered that peace is really her thing and Ukraine her teacher. This September 11th marks 17 years as founder and spiritual leader for Temenos, the community in Ukraine, Science of Mind community. The work has been instrumental in guiding thousands in Ukraine to come to realize that we have a choice and can use it. Temenos' vision is a prosperous center cultivating peace, purpose, and possibility. Its mission is using all moments for good. And today's workshop with Reverend Barbara is a powerful exploration of what she calls the gap. So let us give a warm Foothill Center of Spiritual Living welcome to Reverend Dr. Barbara Leger.
Thank you. Well, it's great to be here. I haven't been here in a while, and it's wonderful to see folks I have known in different ways here in this community. Anybody else notice the 17 years as a consultant and 17 years in ministry in a couple of months? Anybody else notice that? Yeah, I really wasn't paying attention to it until I noticed that I was getting these messages. And at first, I ignored them. Oh, no, I don't have time for that. Or, well, not today. Or, well, yeah, that'd be great someday, you know, like that. Do you ever have that where you get, you know, and you go, what was that? And so I, about 2 years ago, started getting a little message. And this is not the topic per se, but it's connected to it because the topic today is God, or whatever word you use for the infinite, speaks through our heart. And so when we get messages, sometimes we just sideswipe it with our brain. You know, the message starts coming in, you could be happy, life is wonderful. No, just don't risk that. Just be safe, stay here, I'll take care of you. It'll all be fine. Or is that just me? No, okay, good. So what I noticed is that there's a change coming in my life. And honestly, I don't know what it is, which is how I discovered the gap. So before we go really into the talk, I want to just say that there's already so many signs just today being here that tell me more about what this shift is. And I don't really know, but I know it's coming, and now I can't ignore it. And now the outer world is saying, oh, here, have one of these. Oh, here, come and do this. Oh, here. And it's all connected. So at some point, you can't ignore the good that's trying to get your attention. Do you know what I'm talking about? Isn't that a delightful moment when you find yourself going, well, maybe so. Or what if it is true? Or really? Really? Do I dare to believe that that's possible? So my life in Ukraine has been all about strengthening my resiliency to stand in the fire, because there's plenty of fire when you you know, go off into a land like Ukraine, which is has never known freedom, really. It's never been its own country for thousands of years, as long as it's been. It's been owned by somebody and controlled by somebody. And to take science of mind, which is the antithesis of that kind of mindset, and say, you could have anything. Anything is possible. Change your thinking, change your life. I remember one of my very first lectures, this little granny stood up, and I was talking about prosperity in Ukraine in 2001. And she said, honey, are you kidding? She said, Devochka, ты дурака немножко, да? Like, are you a little bit funny, hunty? You're a little bit funny. Do you forget that you're in Ukraine? We don't know nothing here about prosperity. And I said, well, you're great gardeners. She said, yeah. I said, well, what do gardeners do? Do they plant the seed and wonder if the soil's going to do anything with it or not? She said, oh, I never thought about that. So I arrived on a day when everybody was afraid World War III was going to break out. Now, the people in Russia right now have that same fear about this weekend, actually, from what my sources are telling me. And I arrived on a day just like that. And I didn't know how much peace was my path. I didn't know that. I had been doing On Your Mark, Get Set for years, but there wasn't a clear, like, check, check, check. It was just like following a hunch. Well, what I know now is I was following my heart. And I spent tons of time sideswiping that heart message and going off on some avenue over here, because it didn't make logical sense. I mean, most of what I've done in my life doesn't make logical sense, except in hindsight. And when Suzanne said, do you have a bio or anything? And I said, well, it's in the computer. She said, oh, I said, I didn't bring it, which is so unlike me because, you know, Suzanne and Rex are old friends. And when I come to stay, I bring my work, or I used to. I didn't today. Now I brought my dog, which is a different kind of work. But anyway, so she said, write something. And what I wrote was something that's really connected to the thing that's changing in my life. So I was born to pioneer stock. I never even said that out loud. It's not even, you know, I didn't think like that. But I heard it today because I'm practicing listening. How we answer questions reflects to us, if we're paying attention, how we think about the questions that are coming to us, or how we respond to a situation, if we're paying attention, shows us what we believe is possible about anything, right? Does that make sense? So when I would first start getting these wild ideas, which I'm kind of famous for, I would say, oh, no, not me. I'm just a little girl from the country. I don't have a degree. I don't know anything, you know. And then the idea would get louder. And now there's been a lot of inventions made in my lifetime that I had the idea of and did nothing with. Really. And now I have files of ideas. And I have people in Ukraine that want to help me materialize them. So, you know, Ukraine was my teacher because it forced me to find out what did I really believe? What did I really know to be true? And how much, I just call it flapping your gums. You know, how much am I just giving lip service to the teaching? It's very easy to say all the right things. Even in classes here, I was a good student. I knew how to answer the questions the way the teacher wanted them. But when somebody said, what does wholeness really mean? All I had were the answers that they wanted. I wasn't rigorous enough. But I got to Ukraine, and I didn't have a choice because they did not know the rhetoric. They did not know the pat answers. They didn't have a thing that says, this is what you say, or this is what you do, or this is what a practitioner is, or anything. And they'd say, I mean, I remember one outrageous student said to me, okay, so just tell me, do you want my answer, or do you want the answer that the test is looking for? And they're mostly like that there, which is really great at some level. But in the beginning, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know enough how to teach to these people. I can't. So I gave up teaching and I entered discovering. And so my life there has moved me through so many. I mean, I've really grown up there. Peace has always been. When I was a little girl in the wintertime or in the fall when it was really cold, I lived on the apple farm that my ancestors settled with their wagon trains and built the houses without the nails. And I'd be a six-year-old, and I'd wake up at 5 a.m, I'd put on layers of clothes, and I'd pack a lunch, and I'd head out to the back 40, and I'd sit at the far end of the property on a stump, and I'd watch to make sure the Indians weren't around. Now, nobody ever even told me about that, but I somehow did that. And while I was out there watching for the Indians, the birds would come, or the rabbits, and then I started bringing food for them. And, you know, and so there is something within us that knows what our whole ancestry is and what we are born for. And if we can just learn to pay attention, then we can live it. We can agree with it. We can align with it. So I'm really at a place of heightened attention right now in my life because I'm being asked to stretch and grow, and my community in Ukraine is stretching and growing, and we're being asked to do things we don't know how and where and when. And so the unknown is so huge. It's like there is a vision of possibility, and then there's a reality today. Do you know about those? That there's a gap in between those things. And so that gap is now a context for what I see. And I notice, am I on the shore that isn't working, justifying staying there? You know, well, it's better than floundering around in the river. It's moving too fast. Or am I getting close to the shore of what's possible? How do you stand in that gap between what is but isn't working and what you imagine is possible, but you don't know how? That's the topic of the workshop, but really it's the topic of life. I mean, life is so challenging today. And there are so many people convinced that this is just the worst of times. And this is just the end. And I mean, people who we respect are saying, if we do not stop now, it's going to be too late. Well, I remember when Buckminster Fuller said on my first day of work at New Dimensions Radio, he said, we've got 5 years. This was in 1982. So, you know, who knows what would have happened if we'd turned it around. But the world that we live in today appears to not be working anywhere you look, from whatever side of the river you're on. It appears to be painful, not working, and it's very easy to feel totally powerless or to go numb or to get really angry or to be really scared, right? It's really important to know how you feel right now at this time on the planet, because as we know, how we feel and what we do with it is what determines the result. Our feelings and our state of being matters more than ever before. More than ever. So if you know where you are, it's hard to know where you are. It's hard to know if you're scared or if you're angry. Even in a small context, even with your family, it's hard to tell yourself the truth. And it's harder to let others, to talk about it with others, but really who we are is anybody can tell you. Really, you just look at our life and you know who we are. You know, you don't get what you want, you get who you are. That's just how it works. You can't get what you want until you are what you want. So if we look at this world today and we say, oh, blah, 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 it's never too late, never too late to change it. And how does it change? Like anything. It changes by telling yourself the truth first. owning it, accepting it, not judging it. Knowing that as we learn here, everything is here for good. There is a reason for all the chaos. Out of chaos comes order. When I went to Ukraine, it was so chaotic. I was terrified. I didn't speak the language. I never lived in a city. I never lived in an apartment. I mean, it was insanity to me. But step by step, I got through it because I allowed myself to see where my fear was and to ask for help. Make a map. Show me the bus. So right now, each of us is totally responsible for ourselves and our experience of the world. And so life, there is a life force within us, and that life force is so perfect. And we sing about it. So I started out by saying how many little signs there were, znaks, as they say in Russian. And so there were three before the service even started. They were practicing the song I sing to my grandson. And I love how you've got it, this bright light of mine. I sing this big light of mine to my grandson. But he has taken that, and my grandson can use all the support that he can accept right now or we can give him. And he took that song and he says, "Hey, Baba, I'm learning how to use my shine." You know, and I never thought of it like that. I said, "Let your light shine." And he came in one day. He said, "You know, I just had a fight with Andy, and it really hurts my feelings." And I said, "Well, what could you do?" He says, "Well," I said, "Well, do you have a bright light?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Does Andy have a bright light?" He says, "Yeah." So he goes outside, and he comes back. He's so proud of himself. "I shared my shine with Andy." I mean, really, now that's a simple little story. But, you know, that's what the meditation was about that Suzanne did. You know, to feel the life energy, the heart energy, and let it shine. And we all can do that wherever we are. We're never too young or too old or too poor or too rich or too thin or too round or anything. Wherever we are, it's the perfect place to do it. Life is truly, truly, truly amazing. Because no matter what's going on, there's something greater that we don't comprehend that's really designed to lift us into the next level of our consciousness and the next level of our experiencing life as goodness. Even when it's awful, even when it appears to be falling apart as it does now. And so somebody said, I can't remember who, but it's falling together by appearing to fall apart. So, the theme is God speaks to us through the heart. Do you know what the voice of God or the feeling of God, do you know what that is when it speaks to you through the heart? Do you recognize it? Is it a still small voice? I mean, I can't stand that anymore. I do not want to have a still small voice. I don't have a still small voice. And what good would it be to have a still small voice if I really see the world living in peace in my lifetime? It's not going to do me much good if I whisper it here and there. What happens if you get an idea that is so compelling that you can't say no to it anymore? Do you whisper it about it? You can't whisper about it, but you don't have time. It's just compelling. Life is for us, and peace in our lifetime is possible. This I absolutely know, and it's up to us. And I no longer am willing to sit on the couch and hope that somebody else is going to do it. And peace is not something somebody can do. Peace is something each of us must live. And when enough of us, the tipping point, whatever it is, 0.1% or the square root of 1%, I don't know what it is, but it's not a big number. It's not a big number. And if we wait for it to be easy, it won't happen. And we can do it. We just have to believe in it, and we're the ones who have to become peaceful. You know, Gandhi said, be the change you want to see. Well, so it's easy. When I got to Ukraine, I thought I was peaceful. I arrived on September 11th. The next day I had two prayer circles, a radio, a television, and a newspaper interview. And everybody was afraid the world was going to end that day, the next day, seriously. And my son was flying in some plane on the East Coast, and we couldn't find him. And I'm in Ukraine, and I'm talking about don't make an enemy out of this. Find your place of peace and hang on to that. Find something in you. Give thanks and find your peace and hold on to that and grow that. Remember that. Share that. And stop whining and complaining out of your fearful voice. So we have the power. So when Spirit knocks on your heart and your brain wants to kick in and say, yeah, tomorrow, I'm inviting you to say, who's there? Knock, knock, who's there? And know that no matter what it is, it's some form of God, because that's all there is. And there's something that wants to be known to you, but do you know how to recognize it? Or do you put a barrier here and you say, well, I'm not big enough for that? I mean, I have had such issues with self-esteem in my life that I don't right now. Well, I probably do, actually. I do still. But they used to be so big that I couldn't do anything. I didn't believe myself worthy of anything. And now, sometimes I hope they're not going to find out who I really am. I don't know. I know that I still doubt myself. I know that I still have a voice within me that says, well, why do you think you need to be the one to do that? Well, because I can. And because if I really listen to what's going on, it's different today than it was 35 years ago when I started on this journey. And the voice before used to say, just hold on. It'll pass. There is enough. Don't worry. And I still live really out on the skinny end of the branch. You know, I mean, having a ministry in Ukraine is not like being in the land of milk and honey. But what it is it's so deep that when I got there, my translator, who lived in an apartment, I think I may have told you, the dog had puppies and the cat had kittens and the mother's making hooch in the bathroom. And I'm going, please, what did I do? And he says, how nice it is that you came here to teach us about peace and love. It would really be nice if you had some. That was my first month on the job. And the whole rest of the time has been to discover how to be peaceful myself, how to be the person that I want to be, that my dog thinks I am. You know, how to be that person that doesn't judge people because they're homeless. I mean, I watched myself today as I came here and saw that beautiful truck and a lot of homeless people in it. I've been homeless. I know that place. I'm not a career homeless person. I was there for 6 months. Thank God I had whatever in me that got me out of that hole. But not everybody has that. And still, even with all what I've experienced, I still had this flash of judgment today. I don't want that flash of judgment, but I want to see it. I want to notice it so that I can transform it. So I can say, this is not peace. This is not love. I choose peace. I choose love. I don't know how to love everybody, but I do know that there is a light within everyone, and I believe that, and I believe that is God. And that light that is in me and is in you is in all the people less fortunate than us. And it's everywhere on the planet where people are fighting each other and making the weapons and selling them. All of those things that are happening are made by the light of God. In people that have some picture of what they need to do in order to be safe or to be prosperous or to be in control or whatever it is they've come to believe they must do, just like us. Just like us. We're all doing the same dance. Everybody. We all want to be safe. We all want to make a difference. We all want to be loved. We want to feel valued. And we've all learned different tracks, some of them more heartful, some of them more mental, some of them from that reptile part of the brain that we don't need anymore. But we have a choice, we in this room. And in rooms like this all over the world, we have a choice. And together, if we simply choose to listen to that voice and say, who's there? And we remember that it's always God, no matter what it looks like or who it looks like. And you'll find that peace becomes easy for you in your heart when you see this connection from God to your heart without your head in the way. Peace is what happens in your body. You feel it. It feels good. And then it's easier to love your ex-husband when he moves to town. And go and make, you know, Easter dinner with this wife who, you know, tried to take your kids away from you. I mean, really, anything is possible. It changes us. So the workshop is really about defining the gap for you and learning the practice to build the resiliency to be in whatever the fire or whatever the swift-moving river you've got going on in your life. We've all got the light. And how do we build the resiliency to live and let that, to use our shine, as Lucas would say, to ourselves and others. So I'm so grateful to be with you. I'm so grateful. I believe that peace in our lifetime, you can celebrate that with me right now, that peace in our lifetime is a distinct possibility and that it's up to us. So thank you for having me. Very happy to be here.